Greetings, friends, and as promised in our last program, on this program, we're going to talk about some of the practices and beliefs of the Catholic Church which Protestants have rejected. As I also mentioned in our previous program, Protestants have not totally come out of Catholicism. Protestants still hold to some of the poor practices and bad beliefs of the Catholic Church, but that's for our next program. In this program, I'm going to talk about some of these poor practices and bad beliefs that Catholics hold that Protestants have rejected. And make no mistake about it, most Catholic beliefs and practices are bad. But I can also say that most Catholic believers are good people. So this is not about condemning Catholics as people. I am condemning, because the scripture condemns, the Catholic beliefs, most of them. And the same can be true, because you might think that this is a harsh statement, but the same can be true about Muslims. If you're a Christian, you would agree with that Muslims, even though there are many, many, in fact, probably most Muslims, are wonderful people. Still, their beliefs are not good. They're not in line with the truth of God, and we must worship God in spirit and in truth. The same thing with Buddhists. Many of them have a love for their God, but they don't worship the God in truth. So we would say that their beliefs are bad beliefs, though most of the Buddhists are probably good people. And you can even say that about atheists. They don't even believe that there's a God. But you can find many atheists that are good people. So there's a distinction between the beliefs and the believers. The beliefs of the Catholic Church that we're going to be talking about today are bad practices, bad beliefs. Make no mistake about it. And thankfully, Protestants have rejected these that we're talking about today. They have not rejected all, but we'll talk about that in the next program. So, let's start out with Mary worship. You know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is worshipped by Catholics. Now, this diminishes the role of Jesus. How so? Well, Catholics are taught that the reason for praying to Mary is that she can take the petition to her son, Jesus, and since she is his mother, he will answer the request for her sake. The inference is that Mary is more compassionate and merciful than her son. Now, Saint, and I put Saint in quotes, Saint Alphonsus Liguori is one of the strongest supporters of this view, and he's a Catholic writer. Now, further attempts to exalt Mary can be seen in the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. This doctrine was pronounced by Pope Pius IX when he wrote that, and this is quoted from the Catholic Encyclopedia, in the first instant of her conception, the Blessed Virgin Mary was preserved exempt from all stain of original sin. Now, we know that this is a blasphemous doctrine because there is only one person who never sinned, and that is Jesus. Now, let's talk about the Pope. The Pope, as the Catholics claim, are the vicars of Christ. The popes are the vicars of Christ. Now, this word vicars means replacements. You've heard of somebody experiencing something vicariously. That means they are not literally going through something, but someone else is experiencing it on their behalf. This person replaces them in terms of the experience. Well, that's what a vicar is. A vicar is someone who replaces Christ. It's not really Christ who's doing something. It's the person standing instead of Christ. So popes claim that they are the vicars of Christ. Now, this doctrine diminishes the role of the Holy Spirit. How so? Well, the vicar of Christ is a title of the Pope, implying his supreme and universal primacy, both of honor and of jurisdiction, over the Church of Christ. The Pope is the head of the Church on earth, so they claim. Pope Innocent III declared that Christ ordained the Roman pontiffs as successors of the Apostle Peter, whom Catholics believe was the first head of the church. But of course, this is a blasphemous doctrine also, because there's only one head of the church, and that's Christ. And Christ guides his church through the Holy Spirit. Didn't Christ say that he had to ascend into heaven and that he would send the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth? So we have Christ as the head of the church guiding his body through the Holy Spirit, not through the Pope, not through some vicar. And on top of that, Peter was never the head of the church. And on top of that, there is no proof in any historical documents that Peter ever went to Rome. Peter was an apostle, just like James, just like the Apostle Paul. The next bad belief that Protestants have rejected is this doctrine of papal infallibility. Now I'm going to read again some parts from the Catholic Encyclopedia in which they talk about this doctrine of papal, which means pope, infallibility. But the problem with this doctrine of papal infallibility is that it diminishes the role of the Bible. Because when we read the Bible is what is the word of truth. The scripture says in John 17, verse 17, "Thy word is truth." So if anybody speaks contrary to the word of God, then they are not speaking the truth. So therefore they cannot be infallible. And the popes teach the doctrine about the Immaculate Conception of Mary, amongst other things that they have wrong. So truly, there is no such thing as papal infallibility. That is another blasphemous doctrine. But this is what they say about it, and even their definition of it is confusing. But here's what they say. The Vatican Council has defined as a divinely revealed dogma that the Roman Pontiff, when he speaks ex cathedra, is by reason of the divine assistance promised to him in the Blessed Peter, possessed of that infallibility with which the divine Redeemer wished his church to be endowed in defining doctrines of faith and morals, and consequently that such definitions of the Roman Pontiff are irreformable of their own nature. And when he speaks ex cathedra, he is speaking in the exercise of his office as pastor and teacher of all Christians by virtue of his supreme apostolic authority. And this is a doctrine of faith or morals to be held by the whole church. Well, I don't hold that, that's for sure. And again, Protestants have also rejected this blasphemous doctrine of papal infallibility. Another doctrine and practice in this particular case is the doctrine on indulgences and the practice of selling indulgences. Now, what is the problem with this doctrine of indulgences? Well, it diminishes the sacrifice of Jesus. How is that? Well, an indulgence is the remission of the temporal, and that's key. An indulgence is the remission of the temporal punishment due to sin that has been forgiven, which remission is granted by the church through the application of the superabundant merits of Christ and of the saints. Now, this is quoted from the Catholic Encyclopedia. I'm not making this up. And what I just read to you is this: that if a person comes and asks for forgiveness of sins, the eternal punishment for those sins are forgiven. The sin is forgiven, and the punishment, in terms of the internal punishment, it's forgiven. But somehow they're teaching that there's still some temporal punishment that's due, that you still owe something. And in order for you to relieve yourself from that debt, you have to have an indulgence. Now, this indulgence can be paid for you by either the superabundant merits of Christ, but notice this, or of the saints. So in other words, if somebody else has a whole lot of good deeds accumulated, it's like they have some excess in the bank and you have a debt, then you can actually go to this saint and take from his abundant good deeds and pay off your debt. And that's, I tell you frankly, that's stupid. that is not biblical. And they go on to say that this requirement must be fulfilled either in the present life or in the world to come, i.e. purgatory. That's where they get this doctrine of purgatory, that it's a temporary stopping place before you either go to hell if you can't pay for your indulgence, or you will go to heaven. You can get out of purgatory if you can get some of these indulgences to pay for your temporal punishment. Isn't that ludicrous? Well, I hope you think it is, and most Protestants have rejected this idea of indulgences. But unfortunately, the Catholic Church practiced the selling of indulgences. And this happened all throughout the Middle Ages. It was big business in the Middle Ages. Pope Boniface VIII declared a jubilee for the year 1300 and offered liberal indulgences to those who would make a pilgrimage to St. Peter's Basilica. An estimated 2 million people came within that year and deposited such treasure that two priests with rakes were kept busy day and night raking in the money. Then, in 1450, Thomas Gascoigne, Chancellor of Oxford University, complained that the indulgence sellers would wander over the land and issue a letter of pardon, sometimes for as little bit of a glass of beer. Sometimes they even did it for the hire of a harlot. As the Catholic Encyclopedia itself says, the practice soon became a fruitful source of evil as mercenary ecclesiastics sought a means of financial gain. Abuses were widespread. Well, of course, you teach a stupid doctrine like that, you're going to have a lot of negative fruit. Now, in I think it was three programs ago, we already talked about the Inquisition. So this is a practice, an abominable and blasphemous practice that the Catholic Church practiced. The Inquisition. Inquisition means to inquire, to ask questions. They were asking questions to people whom they deemed to be heretics. And, of course, the punishment for heresy was torture and death. And this Inquisition lasted from 1252 to 1834 AD. That's almost 600 years of persecution, brutal, horrible, barbaric, beastly persecution, torture, and murder of millions of people. In fact, estimates are that 60 million people died at the hands of the inquisitors. Now, these are just some of the bad beliefs and pagan practices that the Catholic Church held and that Protestants came out of. As I said, in our next program, I'm going to talk about some of the beliefs of the Catholics that Protestants have not come out of. God says in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, "Come out of her, my people, and do not be partakers of her sins." But Protestants have not come all the way out of the Catholic Church. Some doctrines of the Catholic Church Protestants still hold on to. And that's what we're going to discuss in our next program.